You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A recent study published by the University of Auckland has highlighted how dis- and misinformation has spread throughout communities since the beginning of the COVID-19 outbreak. The study, which began in February 2020, analysed various social, mainstream and other forms of physical and digital media to see how disinformation and misinformation is transmitted across platforms. In addition, the study also showed how since the beginning of the Delta outbreak back in August, there has been a sharp increase in COVID-19 related misinformation being spread throughout New Zealand. Our producer Joe Wickens talked to Kate Hanna, one of the project researchers, on what is the study about.
Tell me about the research paper which you were involved in, which looked at mis and disinformation in Aotearoa.
Well, at the beginning of the pandemic, we realised pretty quickly that misinformation and disinformation were going to be a key part of any kind of pandemic response. That was apparent right in February 2020. So we started collating publicly available data from social media and mainstream media to look at what the kind of patterns of misinformation and disinformation related to COVID-19. One of the things we found really quickly was that in often cases, misinformation or disinformation related to COVID-19 was also linked to other features of what we might call conspiratorial thinking or extremist or fringe ideologies or sets of beliefs. And so we started collating that data as well because there was this clear link. And then over the course of the pandemic, now we're sort of 20 months into it, we noticed that the links from COVID-19 specific disinformation or vaccine disinformation to these more fringe ideas was becoming shorter. So it would only take two or three clicks or maybe one click to get from a COVID-19 specific piece of disinformation or misinformation to material that was blatantly transphobic or homophobic, conservative in terms of its structuring of gender roles in society, or containing far-right or QAnon or white supremacist content. So the paper we've just released looks at what has happened over the last 12 weeks of the Delta outbreak, because what's happened during that time period has been an acceleration of the rate of change. So it's even quicker now to get from talking about COVID-19 on social media to talking about ideas about the role of the state, the role of the government, the role of the individual, many of which are encased in far-right language. And so we wanted to explore that and kind of publicise that so that New Zealanders would be aware of what's going on.
On Tuesday, there was another lockdown protest which occurred in Wellington. Based on your research, would you say that this is an indication that misinformation is much too prominent in society?
Yeah, so what we've seen is that ideas and conceptualizations around gender roles, around race, around societal structure and around sort of state versus individual responsibilities, which are linked to a range of ideologies, including white supremacist or far-right ideologies and also QAnon or conspiratorial thinking, have kind of shifted from being in the fringes, on platforms, say, that most people don't go to, to being, as you say, in public eye, in the public space, the Auckland Domain or at the Beehive, and also discussed on mainstream platforms like Facebook and Instagram. So that is a shift of ideas from the fringes into the centre, which is obviously concerning because some of these ideas, as I say, have a really strong racialised and gendered conceptualisation of who is a New Zealander and who gets to be in charge or who gets to make decisions. We've also, seen conservative faith-based ideas be preeminent in this space, and there is a political sense that this is an attempt to change the nature of the discourse from being, you know, an expression of pluralistic, inclusive, socially cohesive political spaces into exclusive, singular sets of ideas and socially divisive political spaces. And that's the kind of rhetoric that we're seeing at protests. I mean, I'm sure that many people listening will have seen that there was a lot of references to the Nazi Party and to swastikas, etc. Now, what's interesting is that generally when people are anti-fascist, they may display a swastika with a line, big red line through it in their protesting. Now, these people are accusing the government or the state of behaving like fascists, but they're displaying the insignia in an unedited way, shall we say. And so what that does is actually, you know, violate our public discourse. It's terribly traumatic. You know, we have Holocaust survivors in New Zealand.
I want to touch on the comparisons between lockdown and things such as the Holocaust and apartheid. What are your thoughts on this referencing?
Yeah, I mean, it's a salient observation to sort of say that you know, the casual referencing, there should never be casual referencing of the Holocaust or apartheid. Those are not events in human history that should be bandied around and thrown out there as symbols that you can use and reuse and for your own purposes, and in doing so it shows the lack of commitment to truth, to understanding the past, to understanding the present. That is a feature of people who produce disinformation narratives. I mean, the broader population of a community who are now participating perhaps in these demonstrations and using these symbols, you know, they are a community that have been dragged into this space by a small number of very vocal, very committed disinformation producers and sharers, for whom the volatility that they've created is the end goal. They're less interested in actually in vaccination or COVID-19 than they are in creating a sense of divisiveness and volatility that they can capitalise on for their own ends.
Do you think that the spread of misinformation has had a negative effect on the profession of journalism and the ability to produce informative, non-biased news?
Look, I mean, there's a lot of issues that are not, you know, that are universally present around mainstream media and social media, and, you know, that is to do with an attention-based economy or an engagement-based economy, where both newspapers and social media platforms are looking for clicks, are looking for engagement and reader retention. You know, that's widespread. But in New Zealand, we do, you know, we do have largely trustworthy and transparent media economy. We, you know, organisations are publicly owned, or, you know, the ownership model is New Zealand-based in many cases. There's quite a lot of transparency and being able to directly, you know who's involved with putting things together. That doesn't mean our media landscape is perfect, but it means it's a lot better than, say, a Murdoch media-dominated landscape in, say, Australia or the US. That said, the pushing towards volatility and divisiveness that's happening right now by these disinformation agents, including people who claim to be media outlets that are voices of truth, who are still promulgating, you know, disinformation and fake news, does suggest that we may go to a situation where some people are getting their news from those kinds of locations, and that would be a very bad thing for New Zealand's social and political landscape for the future, if we had very partisan media.
And that was Kay Tanner from the University of Auckland talking to producer Joe Wickens. She also says that the issue of misinformation is concerning, but it's that New Zealand media has thought about how it can provide coverage of events such as lockdown protests without giving too much attention to the misinformative content.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.